It's the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. I want to thank you for being here. We're living in very difficult times right now. We're taking at least a three-week break. It may be more than that, but a three-week break. If you're visiting with us today or you're listening to this for the very first time on a podcast, we want you to know that we have spent since the beginning of 2020. We started in Genesis. It was only going to be in Genesis, and we were going to only deal in the book of Genesis, and then we went to the five books of Moses, and then we went to Joshua, then we went to all the judges, then we went to Ruth. Well, we have just closed out the book of 1 Samuel, and we buried Saul last week, and good riddance, Saul. Yeah, that's right. You asked for it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. But seriously, though, and we'll pick up on that in a few weeks, and we're going to pick up in 2 Samuel, and it's going to be the David story, the David Chronicles, and it'll be an interesting time, and it's going to be the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, but a great, great story nevertheless. But today, my heart is going in a direction that's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to bear with me because I have some burden in my heart, and very close to some of the things Linda was saying a minute ago about when are we going to decide to believe the Word? When are we going to decide to believe the Word? When are we going to decide to wake up right now? Unless you're living under a rock somewhere, you willfully decide not to believe in certain things. You have to really know right now we are under attack. The world is under attack in many, many areas. Friends, who have churches in Australia right now, 300 more troops were added to the streets this weekend so they could go to people's houses, so they could see if you're more than a mile and a half from your home, you're going to get arrested right now. This is nuts. This is foolish right now. We are under attack, and I've never denied the fact we are fighting something real, but there is another thing. You know, the scripture deals with, there's a whole doctrine. There's a whole, and maybe I'll spend one whole day on this concept. And there's a whole doctrine on the concept of an occasion to sin. And we have something that's very, very real, but it has been hijacked by evil right now. There's a godly man by the name of Dr. William Federer that is a spirit-filled man. He's actually on the staff at Regent University. And I was listening to something that Linda heard it and sent it to me, and I listened to it yesterday. And what you've got a very real thing going. But Dr. Federer said it this way. He says the term deep state, and that might isolate people already when I use that word. But I'm talking about anything that is against the Word, anything that goes against freedom, anything that goes for evil, against the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said the problem is that a deep state capitalizes in crises to consolidate control. And the consolidation of control is going on. We're walking through medical tyranny posing as public health right now. Intentionally, bad people have entered public life and do not have. Somebody said, well, what about what we heard years ago? Well, it was a different time then. We trust it. We are in a war right now. Your 15 days is now over 500 right now. We're at a time right now where we don't even know who our friends are. We don't know who we can trust on a lot of levels right now. We're careful about what we say. We go to eat with a group of people. We're careful what we say now. We're walking on eggshells right now. We walk in a public business, and we don't know quite what to say there, and we feel that. There are people that are happening in their own families, and that is not of God. That is a division, and there is a reason. There is a reason the division is there. I wrote it this way. I said, how can I say it? I wrote it this way. Right now, the children of the Most High are under attack by the children of the Most Low. You know me. Linda said, you just got to sum it all up, you know. Linda said, you know, she said, we'll have to send a card to somebody, you know, and it's a birthday card or something like that. And I'll see, and she'll agonize over it. And she'll pull out her Bible, and she'll stand over there, and she'll have a Kleenex in her hand. She's thinking of what she can pour out on the card. And I'll go, love and kisses, love and blessing, like that. Yeah, keep flying, you know, I mean, something like that. And she goes, how do you do that? I said, I don't know. The children of the Most High are under attack by the Most Low. Why are we here right now? Alexander Solzhenitsyn said it this way. This is why you're here right now. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. That is the key to anything. Men have forgotten God. Men, I have trouble in my trust area right now because you get abused enough. This is why we need this Word today. Do not be fooled. The war is not a war that they're saying. The war is a war against the Word of God. Linda said that a minute ago. The war is against the freedom to move about, to visit. They're stopping my friends in Canada right now. They're locking them down right now, telling them they can't meet. They're tracking. It is about to stop the propagation of the word. The CDC wrote a paper that you can find very easy at the end of last year, because the bad actors were already in place. And in one document by the CDC that's already been approved, there's a whole area that deals with the concept of the shielding approach. And the shielding approach is something that's in a federal document right now that says if they decide to do something, they can walk in and they can take you and they can pull you out of your house and they can put you at a place where they want you to do, because they are shielding you. They use these kind of words there. FDR's Japanese internment camps have returned. You create a crisis, then you create an answer. We're dealing with a real thing. I'm not denying that. Don't go tell somebody that. But I'm dealing with the actors who have seized it for an opportunity, an occasion of sin. I hate this. I hate God. I know God hates it. How have they been getting away with it, somebody said. How's it so successful? History is repeating itself. History repeats itself. I read this for you 1 year ago, Genesis 11. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language, and they used the very same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia, and they settled there. So they began to say to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. And in this region, by the way, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for the mortar. Then they said, come, let's build. I think New King James says, let us build us, which I think probably a better wording there. Come, let's build a great city for ourselves, a monument to our ingenuity, our mindset. We are going to save people. Let us do this, a city for ourselves with a tower that goes to the sky. Notice the thought line. This will make us famous. Everybody wants to be famous right now. Everybody wants to be famous right now. That's why you show your chicken fried steak on your Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. Never been on Facebook. I don't have a cat. You know, there's nothing to show. And anyway, that's Hebrew. The Hebrew that means nosy. Facebook in Hebrew. Everyone wants to be famous right now. We got some people in our society that got famous for walking around buck naked on their social media, and now they're famous. Not accomplishments. Not a book they wrote. They hadn't read a book. They're famous. They're famous. Let us make us famous and keep us from being scattered. Notice the unity sound. Now, this is an unusual thing. Verse 5. The Lord came down. He looked at the city. He looked at the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Now, a year ago, I didn't spend any time on this other than to say this. Years ago, when I read this, the first few times I read this, I always thought that was a very unusual thing for God to say. You got it? God who can do all. God who has all power. God who can just go, and that's it. God can take the one beating his chest, screaming loud with his fist against God's face. God doesn't have to knock him down. He just has to give him a little bubble to go up in his brain for a minute. And he's gone. Or the breath just stopped. I always thought this was strange. God said this about humans. He said if they're unified. In fact, King James says nothing will be impossible. After this, he said nothing will be impossible. But here is a truth that we learn. Whether for good or for bad, there is a power of unity that cannot be refuted. Okay? The power of unity, whether for good or for bad right now. Okay? And don't be surprised if very soon they're going to have you wearing pink triangles like Hitler did. They're going to be going in your attics and checking, because it's going to be under the, we're going to make ourselves a name. We're going to draw, we're going to do this. Put your antennas up. I lay it out for you right now. This is what I'm feeling in my heart. I'm delivering as I feel I'm told to do. the power of unification. And today, why are we here? The unification of the opposition against the Word of God and the principles of God, and the principles of freedom are unprecedented in the political world, in the high-tech world right now. They're all in cahoots, as Grandma used to say. The medical world, the mainstream media, stuff is going on, the mainstream media even ignores it right now. You can be cognitively impaired and have to be led around and show what door to walk into, and the media will deny what they see. Social media is in cahoots, because if they don't like, do you know that right now the head of the Taliban has a Twitter account? The PR spokesman for the Taliban has a Twitter account, but they're united. The educational system is united. You're seeing moms and dads in school boards. Law enforcement is afraid. There's some really, really good people there. And in fact, there's good people in all these areas, but they're afraid because they've been threatened. Entertainment, advertising, and even in sports. Sports, you know, we've had some talks about this. Sports was always the one area where we could all come together on. We could all come together on, no matter what we looked like. And when they started even doing, there was an area at least that the sacred locker room and the rapport that happened among a team. But you saw insidious thing where you had players who did not mean for good, and I don't mean athlete players, but I mean players in the drama to create divisions. And it's not good. Any kind of division is not good, and they're very good at it right now. Put your antennas up. It is now sanctioned. It's encouraged. It's now fashionable to attack the message of the cross and the people, because you are now called hate speech. You need to know that right now. I took a screen grab of it early this morning when I saw it right now. Do you know that right now that there are things that are going on in our world right now? There's a bulletin right now from the National Terrorism Network that is going out, the advisory system, and talking about looking out for terrorists. And you know what, one of the things? Those who celebrate religious holidays. It's a document. So for Christmas, I want all you terrorists to be here and sing Joy to the World. The Lord has come. This is there right now. This is on United States logos. So don't say that I'm crazy. They hate the message. In fact, one of their bishops that they've worshipped for years, he knows better now. His name is Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking said this: religion is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. Oh, it sounds so spandic. He's brilliant. Knows better. But let me just give you a little word. God has always had a people. Miss Gloria Gaither wrote that years ago, but it's true. God has always had a people. You see the Olympics where there's foolish people. Don't take our money and go over there and spend our time and then curse our nation. I wrote about the hero of Jesse Owens. Things weren't great in America in those days, but he knew Hitler didn't have an answer for that. And I saw these sweet little girls standing up talking about Jesus Christ and the Word in them. There's a guy by the name of John Lennox. He's a mathematician. He lives in Northern Ireland. He's a Christian apologist. He's written many books on religion and ethics, and he loves to do the debates with the atheists. He used to debate Christopher Hitchens, who also knows better today. And in counter to the religion is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark, John Lennox went back to him and said, atheism is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the light. And that's where we are right now. Because truth is what? Light. When the charge is coming against to speak to people of faith, this is not an administration doing this. This is a regime. That's the new name. We've got to decide what we're going to do. Back in the 1970s, there was a guy that I'd known about for many, many years. He came from a religious family, one of the most famous families of music, in gospel music for many, many years, for almost 100 years. And I'd known, and he'd kind of gone off his way a little bit. And one day, Alan Toussaint calls and said, hey, Milan Lefevre's in town. I'm bringing him to church. Milan came in. He had this big feather in his ear hanging down out like this, and he was just kind of spaced out. And I knew who he was, and I was familiar with his music. I said, and the next day, Monday morning, we went and ate. It sat at Alan's breakfast table over there on Fry Place where Alan used to live. And we sat there, and there was Milan, and we started praying for Milan. Milan went home, and God touched him at breakfast on a Monday. He went to Paul Walker's church, the Church of God in Atlanta, Georgia, and he said, I want to do right. So Paul said, well, I need a janitor in my church. So Milan Lefevre, the rocker who wrote Without Him, I Can Do Nothing, he wrote it when he was 16 years old. Elvis recorded it, and he had so much money, he didn't know what to do with it, and he went nuts, and it all went up his nose. But he went back to Mount Perrin Church of God in Atlanta, and he became the janitor for Mount Perrin Church of God. And pretty soon I heard back from him, hey, man, I got a band. I'm putting a band together. It's called Mylon Broken Heart. So when I was one of the first people to book Mylon Lefevre and Broken Heart. And the people were just about to squeal. The Christians, they got guitars. And look at the hair on those people. I said, they're going to touch people that you don't know. And pretty soon Mylon went around the world. But Mylon cranked a song. Find it on YouTube. Love God. Boom. Hate sin. Love. And oh, it was a rocking thing. And man, look it up. Look it up on YouTube. It's still there. Love God. Hate sin. Put it on your playlist. It's there. Mylon's word is the thing that challenged me. The war is going on to capture minds, to shut down the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is light. So what are you going to do? Linda said, you can't just cry about it. Number one, you got to stand on the word, but you got to prepare yourself. This is the most familiar word. You know this so well. Romans 12, I beseech you, I beg you, I beseech you, brothers. That's covenant. That's people. Already, it implies that you are walking in covenant. Already, it implies you have prayed the prayer. Already, it implies you are following. Already, it implies you have drawn a line and you are not going back. You're going to love God and you're going to hate sin in your daily life. By the mercies of our God, that's the goodness of God, that's God's unmerited favor, that you give yourself, I love the present word, as a living sacrifice. You know, something dead ain't good for using anymore. Holy and acceptable to God, that's the reasonable thing to do. If you're a covenant person, the reasonable thing to do is to live your life as unto God. And do not, remember when I said there's a mindset war going on right now, to make people see things and call them good when it's not good. And that's because their discernment radars are turned off. And we're falling for things. Shake it up. Love God, hate sin. Amens aren't thundering back, are they? Do not be conformed to this world, but make a change. Be transformed. Where does it start? Remember where the war was? By the renewing of that thing, starting it again. When we were little kids, we didn't have iPads. We didn't have those things right now. Do you know some of you that are, you know, just young people right now, do you know that not long ago we would have to call a phone number to find out what time it was? Coca-Cola time, 1:15. That's how, what time is it? I don't know. Call the number. No, things are a little bit different right now. Things are different. Your mind, renew it every day. We didn't have those other little tablets. I had the deal that had wax paper on it, and it was a tablet. And it had a little plastic stylus. And they wouldn't let me bring it to church because I'd get in the middle of something, I'd be drawing it. And you know, and you wait for that quiet part in the sermon, and then your page is empty, and you got to clean, and you go like that, and everybody turns around and looks at you when you've done it. You remember those little plastic? That's what we played with right there. I got to tell you, too, I had a G.I. Joe. I don't like boys. And I didn't have the little ones that they made later for when Matt's age. No, I had the 12-inch ones there. But I don't like boys. It didn't change me. We weren't crazy then. We watched cartoons, and the coyote would fall off a cliff and hit a wall. And we knew that wasn't real. We weren't stupid. Daffy Duck looked in the barrel of Elmer Fudd's gun, and it goes off, and his beak goes around his head a few. We knew that was not real. Do you understand? And now we're getting offended if something on a cereal box offends us. We need to have our minds renewed that you may prove. In other words, you're going to prove it. What is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. So how do you find this, though? Now you know that part, but I bet you don't read any more of this. Look at verse 9. Now this is where we're going to land. This is why I'm doing this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Do we have to love? Yeah, we got to. You don't have to spend Christmas with them, but you got to love them, all right? But notice this statement. This is here. Look at the last two statements. Abhor, this is the message today. Abhor what is evil. What's the next word? Cling. Now, are those visual words for you? Abhor. Abhor, that means to regard with repugnance. That is the most awful thing I've ever seen in my life. To regard with disgust, to regard with hatred, to be offended by it. That's the way people feel about the word that you stand for today, the God that you praise, the scriptures that you sing, the scriptures that you read, the bumper stickers you have on. When you pray for you are that's how they look at you when you celebrate. Lord, I want to give you thanks on this November Thursday. I want to thank you for what you've done. It was a mess to get to this spot, but I want to thank you, Lord, that I was born here and not somewhere else. Lord, I just want to give thanks today. And on December 25th, born is the King of Israel. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's where we're going right now. But the word says that's what we ought to do. But notice the next statement. You know, a lot of times people say, well, don't do that. Well, you got to put something else in its place. Jesus clearly said, you can cast a demon out, but if you don't put something in its place, something worse is going to get in there and move in, and you're going to have some problems. So don't just tell somebody, well, you got to stop doing that. Give them something else. Here's the word of the Lord. Here's the word of the Lord for you. This is what the, don't walk around, you don't have to be Scrooge, but you can say, here's what I have, such as I have, give I thee. But cling, I love the word. The cling is a good word. It's a visual word. Your baby, every baby that you've had, and you're hanging there, and if they don't feel like you're quite holding them at a certain way, those arms are there and they are clinging to you because they don't want to fall. Hold on to what is good because you don't want it gone. In other words, love God, hate sin. You got it? We must remind ourselves to be steadfast here. You know, this is the first, you know, we've always prided ourselves, the Bible, be strong, be courageous. We've always, we've told men, boys, grow up, be strong, boys, stand up, quit being, there's no place for a wuss. You stand up there and you stand up, you do these things. You do what God's put in you, that is birthed in you. Ma'am, you do what God has birthed in you right now. It's, by the way, it's called chest feeding now. Did you know that? It's called chest feeding right now. I don't know where they got that, but that doesn't work right now. And they said they believe in science. It's not right. I've been locked up for a week. I'm ready to tell this. Here's what I wrote. We're the first generation in history that thinks weakness is a virtue. We're the first generation in history that thinks weakness is a virtue. It says to be meek. That's not putting yourself up. That's making sure that you are walking honorably and humbly with humility because you know who you are. You know who you are. You know what God's put in you. You are not afraid right now. But we live in a generation now, right now, that thinks weakness is a virtue. It's demonic. And it is to weaken the man's house, the family unit. I got some more things I can read you about the family unit, the destruction of that, destroying where you live, how you eat, where you go right now. Wait until they do the social credit system on each of you that will decide with the number that you've been assigned by someone. If you are one of these church going people, it's going to deal with whether you can borrow money. It's going to deal with what stores you can shop at, where you can live, where you can travel, and when you can travel. That's already in the works right now. Here's another cultural snapshot. It eloquently exposes idol worship of sinful man. By the way, it doesn't end well for these folk. So I can't say to them, comfort one another with your words. Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness. Every nation sees his. This is how it's going to end, okay? It doesn't end well. Every nation will see his glory. Those who worship idols are disgraced. It's going to happen. All who brag about their worthless gods, for every god must bow to him, even if your face is covered. Because we can't do that before God. When we walk in his presence, we're open to him. We can't hide. You who love the Lord, verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Love God, hate sin. He protects the lives of his godly people. Go back, remember, to you people, you covenant people. He rescues them from the power of the wicked. The light shines on the godly and joy on those whose hearts are right before God. You know what? I'm praying that even in the midst of all hell going around us, by the way, you need to be informed. You need to get many sources. You need to be sane. You need to decide. You need to walk strong in faith. You need to walk in courage right now, but you need to know right now that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let some joy come your way. Let some life come. I pray that you find some laughter your way. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. The key thought, love God, hate sin. By the way, how do we do that? We love what God loves, and we hate what God hates. Isn't that true and important in any relationship? Isn't that true? And when you develop a friendship, most of the time, one of the writers said, friendship develops when you say, hey, you've gone through that too? Me too. And a friendship develops. But many, it is through a commonality of vision, a commonality of interest. It's a commonality. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to live with somebody for a lot of years, you better have a common, there must be some common interest with the partner. You got that? We have a lot of common interest. We laugh a lot. We laugh about goofy stuff. Well, I laugh too much, I'm told. But we laugh about goofy things, but we have a lot in common. We eat the same a lot. We think, and that happens, huh? Too much food, yeah, right. But we like certain things. I mean, we're sitting on the couch the other night, and all three of us. Tyler came in, and he had been working, so he plopped down there, and we're watching these ball games going on. We're doing it. Well, I'm happy, you know. Linda's saying, "Well, I'm doing it to make them all happy." But there's a commonality. Here's how I knew I liked her. You go back through those. Remember all those years you go out, you're gonna go out with somebody, and you girls all did this. You're going to. Yes, ma'am. What would you like to order at the restaurant? Oh, I don't want anything. I'll just have some water and toothpicks, and bring me out a lettuce leaf, and you know, girls, I don't want anything. I'm kind of hungry, you know, and they all do. That's what they're supposed to play. Here's how I knew this girl was it. She sits down and she says, "I want a steak tonight." I went, "Okay, you're getting a steak." I'm thinking, she eats. I like that. Isn't that funny? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You got to have some kind. We watch something, we think alike in some of those things. And that the best way to get along is to think alike. You want to get along with God? Start thinking like God. Say what God says. Love what God loves. Hate what God hates. God, and you can't hate folk because God said, "I even love the dumb ones." And God loves them right now. You want to get along with God? Love what God loves. Love what God loves. And He loves God so loved the world that He gave His Son. What do we have in, what do you have in, can I ask you, what do you have in common with God? Is it just a Sunday drive-by? Hey, bless me, bless my few. And by the way, if you can help me on this thing, I'd appreciate it. God bless you. See you next Sunday at this time. Why do we need a common interest with God? To help us, to point us, to keep us in what is right, how we should walk. We must pay attention to the Word. Do you know what it said? I told you about the light, but first, John 17, I love this. The Word of God said, "Sanctify them by your truth, because your Word is truth." You like truth? Love God. You love God? You'll love truth. Because you are the things that you and God have in common will make your relationship soar. You'll have those laugh moments, even in the tear moments. It'll be a fulfilling. This Word is wise. This Word wants you to be wise. This whole Word is about wise. This is a strong Word right here. And in Proverbs 8, verse 1, listen to me. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises. I'm giving you wisdom and understanding today. Verse 13, all who fear the Lord will hate what? Evil, and I put in parentheses, and all that evil encompasses. Wow. This isn't a bumper sticker. This is a life. It's a covenant walk right there. Therefore, I hate pride. I hate arrogance. I hate corruption. I hate perverse speech, he said. And then verse 32 in the same chapter. And so my children, again, we belong. Listen to me, for all who follow my ways, who love what I love, who hate what I hate, they are joyful people. And listen to my instruction and be wise. In other words, don't ignore it. If you've got children, you've said, "I'm talking to you. Look at me when I'm talking to you." God is saying, don't ignore it, because joyful are those who listen to me, who watch me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me, look at that word. I'd never seen that verse before. But those who miss me injure themselves. Look what God, why did God do? No, they've missed me and they've injured themselves. And all who hate me love death. Boom. That's not very cultural friendly right there. That's not a user friendly word. That's not an inclusive thing there. Regarding the importance of our choices, by the way, we've read about the children of Israel for a year and a half now. And there's only two directions that we've seen, that we see it in the children of Israel, but we see it in our lives. There's only two things to say about me and you, and I said it about Israel. They did what was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Love God, hate sin. God is saying to you today, do not miss me. In other words, the New King James says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Love God, hate sin. But the culture today says something that's the opposite. This is how you know things are upside down. Charles Spurgeon wrote this 85 to 100 years ago. The present age is so flippant that if a man loves the Savior, he's a fanatic. And if he hates the powers of evil, watch this, he's a bigot. I didn't make that up. So that tells me there has always been at work the mindset to squash the Word of God, the power of God, the fellowship of God's people, the truth of God's Word, the truth of morality that's tied directly into it. That tells me for hundreds of years, that's always been the case there. That's always been the case. I end with another translation of the same word. This is what's fun. The New Living says it this way. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. But the next statement says, hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. You've seen that scripture in three translations this morning. I hope I've painted the picture for you. This is why I need the Word. This is why you need to be here to worship this way. We can't play with the enemy. We're fighting evil. It's relentless. And by the way, you need to know, devil doesn't punch out Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock and wait till Monday morning to punch back in. But we live that way. We live that way. He's not going to punch out and take it easy. He's not going to punch out and take it easy. Archbishop Charles Caput, who worked for many years in the Philadelphia Diocese, I think he had a touch of God on him. He wrote these words. He says, evil does not want to be tolerated. This is where we are right now. Evil doesn't want to just be tolerated. It needs to be vindicated. It demands to be seen as right. That's where we are right now. And it will not stop. It will not stop in just toleration. It has to be vindicated to the point that you will bow and say, yes, this is right. Please don't walk away and hear what you didn't hear. You be wise. You do the right things. You take care of yourself. You take care of your family. You do what is right for you and for your family there. You do that right now. But you can do that without getting swept where you check your brain in and then this leads to this, this leads to that, this leads to that. This is where we are right now. We're in a danger zone right now. We're in a danger zone right now. You need to buy Eric Metaxas' book on Bonhoeffer. It's quite a story. I told you, anything to stop the light of the Word, which is truth. So I leave you with this. I need to remind you who you are. 1 Thessalonians 5. For you are all children of the light and of the daytime. You don't belong to the darkness. You don't belong to the night. There's an ongoing discussion in our house that never stops. Do any of y'all have something that is just an ongoing discussion in your house that never stops? John Hagee used to have that great, great word in his sermon. He had a marriage and the family sermon that he used to preach a lot. He said, guy came out and he said, our marriage was made in heaven. And John said, yeah, and so is thunder and lightning too, he said. But John Hagee used to have this line, and he said, men, you know that argument you won in the car on the way to church this morning? And he paused and he went, it's not over. We have a discussion that's never over in our house. I enjoy that time where I get a few hours to turn the light off and to cover up with the blanket and to go to sleep for a little while. Get it good and cold. You get it, got to get it real cold, and then you got the blankie and the two fans from both directions over there. You get over 50, you'll have two fans too. I'll tell you that right now. It feels good. But she's different. She wakes up. She's totally she's this verbal when she wakes up. So we stay away a while. And the ongoing discussion is, there's not going to be any sleeping in heaven. I'm just telling y'all. I'm telling both of y'all, there's not going to be any sleeping in heaven. No, I got to have a little. How about one of those rainy afternoons? There's not going to be any rain in heaven either. It's not going to be dark in heaven. It's going to be light. It's always going to be daytime. I said, well, what are we going to do, though? You're not going to need to go to sleep. But if heaven is there for things that delight us, don't you think God would help some of us to let? No, it's not going to be there. He's not going to help you. He's going to change you. Is that a discussion? It's always. It never stops. But it was so good. I can't believe you. All right, I slept good, but I don't need all that. Get up. You got to do this, and it's your fault, too, because you made her that way with my mama opened the windows and got to get up. There's chickens out there screaming and you want me up. No, my Lord. But I think she's more right. For you are all children of the light and of the day. You don't belong to the darkness of the night. And then my friend David Phelps sing, no more night, no more pain, no more crying again. Oh, my iceberg is getting smaller. So what do you do as you are endeavoring to love God and hate sin? Verse 6, be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert, stay clear-headed. I am giving you something that if you'll pay attention to this, and if you'll listen to everything, read everything, don't buy everything. Stay alert, stay clear-headed. So what am I going to do, though, when I'm going? The reason I've been saying what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks about encouragement is verse 11, and it's where I end today. So encourage each other. Build up each other as you are already doing. I got to tell you, I've really been trying to do that. I've been trying to do that, encourage someone. It may be just brief. Maybe something. I find out. It comes back to me, even. Target somebody you can encourage today. Someone you know that's getting weary in the struggle. Someone who's not hearing a lot of things you might be hearing. And love on them. Love on them. Love on them. Cling to what is good. Don't club them. And speak the word and live your life not in fear, but be wise. Walk in wisdom. People of faith right now. People of God, love God. Hate sin. And next week, I'm going to talk about, as we continue in this, I'm going to open up with the concept that hell despises the real diversity in the body of Christ. Hell despises the diversity in the body of Christ. Old, young, all colors, all backgrounds. All together, coming together. Why do you think there's been a plot to try to keep us from assembling together? Why do you think, Paul, and I'll talk to you about, Paul uses a very special word where about the concept of us assembling together and what we receive. Thank God for video church, but it ain't real church. That's an hors d'oeuvre. That's just to keep you going till the next time. There's something that happens when I get in the car and I know I've spoken to somebody who's encouraged me or somebody that I've been able to encourage. Today, I think I've done what I've been told to do. I didn't do it for any of you, but I've not done it in an arrogant fashion either. I've done it in humility by saying, I believe this is the word. I believe this is what we ought to stand on. Let's all stand so I can give you a Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this. If Father, right now, I request your help. I feel like a fire hydrant for the last 1 hour almost. I pray that these words will land right to the right people who will run with these words, who will war with these words, who will be strengthened with these words, who will be enlightened with these words, who will be encouraged by these words in Jesus' name. Father, there's not an accident of the people that are in this room right now. Father, there's not an accident in our world. You didn't wake up one day and say, oh my goodness, look what's going on. You are not taken by surprise. And Father, my rest is in you today. My strength is in you. My hope is in you. And all I have to do, Lord, to stay in right relationship with you is to love what you love and hate what you hate. And Father, you do not respond to those who will raise their fist in your face. But you've shown us today that even the power of unity, and we are living in an unprecedented time of unity. But the unity is here to bring harm to the people of God and to the freedoms of people around the world. We need your touch. We need your wisdom and your illumination. Your right hand, please. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and grant you peace in your coming and going right now. May your ears hear what the word of the Lord says right now. Do not walk in confusion. Do not walk in fear. Do not walk in turmoil. Do what is right. Do your homework. Do your study and love what God loves in Jesus' name. We bless you today. We're going to pick right up and pray for me. See you later. Bye.